Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dockstetter, along with my cohort, my partner in crime.
The officially now no shoes wearing for spring.
Yep.
Animal stuff and midget moron from Ojai.
Except it's 48 outside.
Well, warm enough.
Yeah, no, for sure. It'll warm up to a balmy 65 today or something.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to call Pastor Bob on that light. I meant to do it yesterday.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
But I forgot.
Yeah, you got other shit going on. No big deal.
Yeah.
Well.
So how was your trifecta deal?
Oh, it went pretty well, except for
welcome to the program, everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're back with another one.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Rudy. That was a kick in the pants.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait to do another one of those.
No, I can't wait to do one live at the World Show or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, my weekend was pretty good. I did a trio of lunches for the California Indians Trap Club out at the Kern County Gun Club in Bakersfield this weekend. So it all went good, minus my truck batteries dying. That kind of sucked. But other than that, it went pretty well.
Man, you sent the usual pictures of piles of meat on the Barbie.
Yep, we did pulled pork one day and chili verde the next and tri-tip sandwiches the third. It went pretty well.
Chili verde. Okay, I got it wrong again. Wendy says, do you just do that on purpose? Or are you that stupid? I said, no, I'm just that stupid.
What'd you do?
Well, everything I say, it's almost there, yeah. But it's, you know, I couldn't remember if it was chili verde or carne asada, not carne, the other one.
Oh.
Pork. Carnitas.
Carnitas, yeah.
Yeah, carnitas.
See, yeah, no, chili verde, it's same animal at least.
Yeah. I was heading down the right thing, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're probably going to do that one day for lunch at the circus. So.
Oh, good. Something different?
Yeah.
Are we going to feed the judges or everybody this year?
It'll be the board and the judges and the couple vendors we have.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway. Well, we're on a... I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're trying to get rid of some of these bigs around here.
Trying to get some finish work done today.
And going on another field trip you are, apparently.
Yeah, we got to go pick some stuff up and drop some stuff off if the guy calls me back and see if we can...
Old man, what a hero.
Yeah, well...
Seems to me we just went... 2 weeks ago to it drop was. That rush crap off.
It absolutely was 2 weeks ago. So, hey. At least I know they got my back.
That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, those people are good people.
We've given them enough thousands of dollars over the years that they take care of us. It's good when you pay the people. They take care of you back.
Well, you're just supposed to do that.
Yeah, for sure, but still.
But then a lot of times some of the other tanneries, when you were a smaller account, I'm speaking just for me, in the way back machine.
Yeah.
You know, they'd put you on the, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Compared to Bob Snow, who had like a $50,000 tanning bill 25 years ago, you got your little $3,000 a month deal.
Yeah.
Not that big a deal.
No, you know? For sure. But yeah, they take care of us, so we got to take care of them.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, how was your week, Chucky?
I don't remember. Let's see. Other than the usual chaos, you know.
Yeah.
Muddling through, I finally got over that little hump.
Mm-hmm.
And, because everybody, no matter, you know, when you do this as long as we do, you are going to have times where you just aren't that into it.
Yeah.
Because you got other shit going on. I mean, but I don't mean hunting and
oh, yeah.
You know, like that. Because there's always that going on.
Oh, yeah. No, sometimes but bigger,
life,
bigger things
bigger
take,
things
take
and,
precedence.
And we got stuff to take care of. And you just don't feel like working.
Yeah.
And
no,
you
got to
push through it. And
here comes your buddy.
Oh, yeah. My new rescue. Yeah. There she is. That dog's coming alive, too, now.
Good.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another funny story.
Right? Yeah.
As usual.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I absolutely said that dog is absolutely not coming here.
I
put my foot down and it. Shows you how much power I have in my own house.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, it could be worse.
Oh, no, it could. She, nah, it's actually, I'm a lot like Mike. I bitch a lot, but.
Yeah.
Care about every, you know.
No, yeah, you got, your heart's bigger than you show sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Just talking about someone about Mike about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The hell was that? That how much he cares about everyone. Oh, it's McClane. Even though he pretends, you know,
yeah.
He's all scruffy and rough. Apparently, research is doing quite well because the consolidated, I guess they put one thing in one box and send you four heads in four boxes or whatever.
Yeah. Know,
for extra.
Of course.
You know. And then you got your add-ons, you got your undercoating,
mm-hmm.
and your, you know, upholstery sealant charge, and your...
Simonize and all that,
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, that stuff. Well, they are Simonized, boy. I picked up one of them one time and shot across the room and hit the wall. No wonder them guys need roughers with those things.
Yeah,
I don't
no
know
doubt.
What they use for wax, but it's... it's hilarious. Well, today... We're going to kind of continue to try as much as we can in a row
mm-hmm.
to go down this path we started with the history of some of these guys, the
yeah.
old-timers. And I got a really interesting guy on today that I don't know why I didn't think of having him on before.
Yeah.
But I really want to get his story down, too, because someone I've known for over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have been doing taxidermy at least 50 years.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating... God, you get how these guys get into taxidermy. Because nowadays, you got, if you're interested, you just look up,
yeah,
you know, and then all the way you could learn and all. But it as we've said a bazillion times, it wasn't like that before.
Yeah.
And the most fascinating thing I find about this, how small our world is,
mm-hmm.
even though it's vast
yeah.
with this. That the studio I stopped in front of, because this guy is 12 years older than me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Same one. His grandma took him by.
Yeah.
On Sunset there. Same one, but she was nicer than my mom. She took him in.
Yeah.
And he ended up, I'll let him tell a story, but he ended up getting to sit on top of an elephant when he was like 7 or something. I'll get his age wrong. Don't worry.
Yeah, and then, no worries.
He says, here, take this needle. And he says, I tried this. I couldn't get it through that elephant hide.
Yeah.
You know? How cool is that? I don't know why we don't play the lottery. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds
mm-hmm.
that would, and then that somehow later in life, we would become friends, not only friends, but friends for, you know, years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, everything tends to happen for a reason. So
yeah. Well, let me do my usual fumble, as is my custom now.
All right, you do that. I'll do this part. I'll get you unplugged and plug the microphone or the phone cord in.
Right.
I suppose I'd edit this part out and chalk it up to technical difficulties, but that wouldn't be us.
Why would you do that?
Editing. What the hell's editing?
What's skin alignment?
Yeah.
Mike's going, well, to the trained eye, I've told that story
mm-hmm.
a million times. Wait, P comes after. Oh, here it is. What? Some things are never going to change.
All right. I'll let you plug it in. All right, and you can dial him up.
Dialing him up.
Good old Fred.
Chucky.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Hey, welcome to the program. You're here with Matt.
How are we doing, buddy?
Oh, good, good.
I bet you forgot, right?
Don't sound so excited.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, how you
it
doing?
It sounds like you're in a tunnel.
I am, because I got my headphones on.
Oh,
we're official
okay.
here. We got microphones. We got this, some kind of widget mic. Matt Plurt puts wires in and everything. And
oh, yeah.
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 So what are you working on today?
I'm working on another rug. And I'm also working on, in between all that, I'm working on a 9-foot marlin, blue marlin.
Oh, wow. Well, you get around, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. How many crocodiles did you do the other year? 6 or something?
Oh, no, probably like 3.
Oh, only 3. Okay.
Yeah, only 3. Yeah, that's enough, let me tell you.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, Fred, I appreciate you taking your time because we ended up doing this series on the people's stories, especially the old timers like us, you know, how we got into this. And we were talking again, and I forgot all these interesting parts of your story, right? Like you were telling me that I didn't know that part, that you would walk by Bischoff's, right? Tell us about
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a child, I actually got interested in when I was 7 years old. And so I was living with my grandparents, and they were nice enough to take me out to some of the taxidermists in the local area here and you know, let me see what they were doing and how they do it and stuff. But yeah, the first place I went was Bischoff's Taxidermy and down on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And and so they were working on a life-size elephant in there, and the form they were making was all made up from straw and 2x4s and chicken wire.
Wow.
But they were getting ready to put the skin on it, and they put me up on top of it. And I was, you know, like I say, I was 7 years old, and my grandparents got a picture of me up there. But yeah, since then, you know, I'd just been doing it off and on, did it all the time when I was in the Air Force. And very fortunate, you know, I was stationed in New Hampshire, which was a beautiful, you know, area, and did a lot of deer for Air Force people.
Wow.
And then in Alaska for a little while. Didn't do too much up there because of the job I had wasn't, you know, allowed me to go out and do it so much.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Well, let's back then, up for a minute. You told me something that I found really interesting. You ran away from home?
Oh, yes. I ran away from home when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on a train. I was actually living in a stockyard, you know, full of cattle. Mm-hmm. And cattle would come in and go every day from the city of Walnut out here in California.
Right.
And I noticed that these hobos in those days would get on these trains and just ride them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was watching them, and then I decided I'd get on there with the hobos and see where I went. And it, yeah. And our first stop, I didn't know what it was, but it was actually Barstow.
Really?
And yeah. And I was in this car all by myself. And then in Barstow, two hobos joined me, which was a good idea because I didn't have any food.
Right. Yeah. Because you really didn't think it through, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, from there, we rode all the way up for the next 2 days, and we got to Elko, Nevada,
mm-hmm.
way up on the top of Nevada. And the three of us got off, and they told me to go across this riverbed and into the town of Elko there. There were some lights on. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
So that's what I did. The two hobos that were with me, they walked down the other side of the tracks quite a ways, and they caught a train they said was going to San Francisco.
Mm.
So, but I stayed there in Elko, and I worked. I got me a job in a feed store.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I got me a job in a feed store, and the sheriff came out when I was there, and he wrote me up as a stray.
A stray?
As a stray, like a stray calf or something, you know. So anyway, I stayed with them for about 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and this rancher would come in every day, this cowboy rancher, he'd come in every day, and my job was to fill his truck up with bags of pellet hay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he and I got talking every morning, and he liked me. So he asked me if I'd want a job for him. So I said, well, sure. Okay. So I went to live with him by myself on a little ranch, because he had like 4 different ranches.
Mm-hmm.
But the little ranch he put me on had an alfalfa field about 20 acres. And so my job was to get up every morning about 5 o'clock in the morning and change the water pipe on this alfalfa field. And then he would show up about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd get in the truck with him and we'd go out and check all his cattle and everything. So he taught me all about the cattle business. So,
so that's how you learn that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then tell us a little bit about what really sealed the deal for your taxidermy. You said up there next to some building you eventually learned actually was a cat house, that there was another deal, a cowboy dog or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's when I was at the feed store still. Mm-hmm. I'd take a walk at night, and, there was a cat house just about one block from us. But I'd walk on by there, and there was a hotel up there called the Commercial Hotel. It's still up and still there. It's not operating anymore. But anyway, you walked up to the front door of this hotel, there was two big bears, a brown bear and a polar bear, standing up. And so that really fascinated me. So I would go up there every day after my work at the feed store and check out those two bears.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that's what you were telling me the other day when you come up, that really kind of like.
Yeah, that really fascinated me so much. I just wanted to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then, as time went on, I got more and more interested in it. And when I got out of the.
Before we get out there, did you ever go back home?
No.
Wow.
No. I went back to my grandparents at one time. When I left there, I was actually living with my mother and her friend. Mm-hmm. I went back to my grandparents, and I did graduate from high school.
Okay.
When I was living with them.
Okay, because I wanted to talk a little bit too about. So is that when you went and were? How'd you get into that bird body business? You were telling me.
Oh, that was when I was a freshman in high school.
Okay.
There was a taxidermy store. Called Dijon's. Dijon's. And I would ride my bike to school in ninth grade. And then on the way back, I would stop at Dijon's Taxidermy, and they would tell me what birds they needed bodies for. And so I would go to the grocery store, and I would get the straw, that apples and oranges and everything came in those days. They had wooden boxes and they'd put them in straw and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I would collect all that. They would give it to me. And then of course I had wire and string, and I would make bird bodies, and I would get 10 cents a piece for each one.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's such a cool story.
That's how I made it all through my freshman year.
Awesome. And yep. That one you did to Northwest or after Air Force or what?
Northwestern School of Taxidermy?
Yeah.
No, I took that course when I was seven.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I took that course when I was 7 years old. Little small books, only about 5 feet or 5 inches high. Mm-hmm. All handwritten, and drawings in there of birds and, mm-hmm. and how you take them apart and everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But
wow. So then after high school, I know you went in the Air Force. Was that Vietnam or before? No, it was Vietnam because you said you were on you had the honor of the casket thing, right?
When I got out of high school, I wanted to go to college because I wanted to be a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And but as soon as I got into college, they had the draft going for Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So all guys had to sign up for it. And so I did. And I spent four and a half years in the Air Force and 1 year in what they call a Red Horse team in Alaska. Mm. And but like I say, I did taxidermy work all the time I was in the Air Force. Because I was fortunate to be stationed in places where I could.
Yeah.
So.
Then after the Air Force, I don't even know how to guide this story along because you've had such a, I was telling Matt, I think you've been doing it 50 years, 55. How long have you been doing taxidermy?
Oh, guy. Yeah. Well, I'm 77 now, so I've been doing it like 70 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You got us all beat. But
I started 70 years ago.
And I've known
things have really changed, you know.
Yeah, and that's why we're grateful to have this stories down, because you can get started now. People will share information, but not when you were a kid. You know what I mean? It was all top secret. And
right. I watched it change, you know, all through the years, because like when we did, just take for instance, a deer head, mm-hmm. when I first started doing deer heads way back then, we just used a piece of wood cut out in the back, because we mm-hmm. didn't do full shoulder mounts in those days.
Mm-hmm.
They were just a longer neck. They didn't really have the
brisket,
you know,
and all that.
The brisket and the back shoulders, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we just cut out a piece of panel about the right size and stick a 2x4 for the neck on it. And then we'd take and boil the head out and put the skull on top of the 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd make the neck out of wood wool and wire and some paper mache sometimes, you know, so it would give it some hardness in there. And then, of course, as years went by in the 60s, they started making forms from plaster and paper.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd make a plaster mold and then lay the plaster and paper inside the plaster mold. And that was really rough because they were heavy, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah, the heads were really heavy. And then for a period of about a year and a half, they actually made some out of fiberglass, a softer fiberglass. But it was very difficult to work with because you couldn't, you know, nail pins into it or anything. It would just break your pins.
Yeah.
So then, of course, they came out with the foam.
Right.
You know, yeah. And
you said that when you were laying up, because you were making mannequins, it took you all day to make a paper mannequin or something.
Oh, yeah, it'd take all day to make a form, you know. It would take actually 2 or 3 days because it had to dry. Mm. And some of them were actually up, you know, from half an inch to an inch thick.
Wow.
And in layers of plaster and paper.
And then you still had to cut a board out and put it in the back and put one in the head, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Wow.
So it was quite a job.
Yeah.
And I remember, I was looking here at my very first price list I made.
Mm-hmm.
And my deer price was $75.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for deer. So things have changed a little bit.
right. We're talking to Sam Cook, you know, and he found his grandfather's price list from the Depression. And it was $250 for a deer head or two chickens.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Okay, so then after that, did you just branch out on your own, or how'd you hook up? Because most of the time I knew you way back in the Wayback Machine when I first met you, I think you were always working for Bob Snow on and off, right? Or,
well, yeah, when I came out of the Air Force, I had a little bit of money that they'd given me for spending that time in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought a little grocery store in Temple City.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah. And then I hired this guy, Jody, to work for me. And he just loved the store, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought the store from me, and I started doing taxidermy work.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point, it just built up, you know. And I did my own tanning and everything at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And then you opened I think, way back in 80-something.
Yeah, right? In 83, I opened the tannery.
Right.
And did tanning for all the taxidermists in the area.
Right.
And, but I would
even
do...
Even me, when I first started, I think I was just...
I believe I did. But I did all the taxidermy for Southern California here. And but then, yes, I did do work for Bob Snow. On the side, I did all his detailing.
Mm-hmm.
I would go out there at like 3 a.m, and I had a key to get in. So I would do all the detailing, and I would take in work that nobody else wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would take in work that had been damaged, you know,
mm-hmm.
Where the face had lost a lot of hair and stuff. And I would take that in and try and make it look as best as possible. Then I made all the bases and did all the rugs for people.
Yeah, and that kind of
So.
work is what makes us, what Fraser had me, all that repair stuff, it makes you a good taxidermist.
Yeah.
Bob used to tell me when I was starting out, anyone can mount a good one. That's what he would say, anyone can mount something that's,
That's right. If it's perfect, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
But it takes a little more talent if it's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then you stayed with, and a lot of people, what's sad is they don't even know who Bob Snow was, right? Except
No,
for a
no.
few.
He,
Go ahead.
yeah, he was definitely the biggest taxidermist around here, from the 80s on.
Yeah.
So,
I think in the state, even maybe,
It's possible. It's
And then
possible.
he had his own. I still have, thank God I have one of his catalogs still,
Yeah.
for pus,
Yep.
and then it's got the zebra fighting the. Was it the zebra and the lion, or the sable
Oh
and the
yeah.
crocodile,
Yeah, I helped him with the making those forms for the zebra and lion. And I was fortunate. I sold a pair of those actually, and we mounted them down at Bob's. And we sold those to Shaq, the basketball player,
Really?
Shaq.
Wow. Oh,
Yeah,
Shaq.
and I,
Shaq.
yeah, Shaq. You remember Shaq, the big
Yeah,
guy?
who can you not remember? Size 42 shoes or something?
Yeah, right. So yeah, I
Yeah, he
took him
was
out
big
to.
into taxidermy. People didn't know that.
Oh yeah,
He had a
he loved
gold-plated
taxidermy.
Desert Eagle, a gold one, Little
Yeah, he
trivia there.
wasn't. He wasn't a hunter, but he loved taxidermy work.
Well, I know.
So,
Yeah, he did. And one time, I'll get us back on track, but I got to tell this before I forget. One time he got so depressed during some kind of games that somebody was losing that he went out to Bighorn Ranch and shot like 23 animals with his Desert Eagle and had them all mounted life size.
Yeah.
And then Chuck there, he was telling me the kid's son, I forget his name, but they had that Toyota 4x4. And he said Shaq couldn't, he said he was all crunched up in, because that was when he was still playing, basketball. And they had him stuffed in that thing. Anyway, yeah, so go ahead. So,
It was quite a day when I delivered those out to Shaq because he wasn't there when I got there, but his mama was. His mama lived there with him, and she was real short. She was only like 5'5",
Really? Wow.
And yeah, and he's huge, and she says, "No, I don't want that in the house. I don't want that in the house." But it went in. It went in. He had this huge, huge room. It was circular, and it was all white inside. The curtains went all the way around. It was all white, and we put the zebra and the lion together right in the middle of it. It was very nice.
Oh,
And
wow. Yeah, he is a good dude too, that guy.
he
Yeah.
was.
Yeah. Anyway, so then, but then, like the last 15, well, man, you went through some, we don't want to bring up all the hard times, but didn't you have a cattle ranch for a while, too?
Yes, I raised cattle. I sold my tanning parts. I had my tannery, and I sold it to a guy in Mexico. And then I decided I'd
That's right,
take
I
that
remember
money.
now. Yeah.
Yeah, I took that money, and my ex-wife, her father had passed away, and he had 55 acres in Texas. So when we went out there to take care of him and everything, and I seen this property, and I says, "Oh man, this is really nice," So she said that she didn't want it and she wasn't interested in property. We were just going to sell it. So I said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to, mess with it for a little bit." So I took and built a ranch out there, and at one time I had like 700 head of cattle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So and that lasted through the 80s. And
That was quite a while, I remember.
Well, it went till the first Gulf War. And in the first Gulf War, President Bush decided to start buying beef and everything from all over China, even. And
Really?
for the troops.
Oh.
And so we had a contract with the government all the cattlemen in that area. But the government broke our contract.
Yeah, bless their heart.
Yeah. And so, beef, I was getting $1.14 a pound for live weight pound from my calves,
Wow.
and it went down to 65 cents.
Wow.
So after a couple of years, I was selling cattle to feed cattle. So, I was just, then I just
Upside
decided,
down.
well, it's time to get away from this,
Right,
So I
right.
sold everything.
Right. So another funny part, a little trivia, is I'd like to see in a tuxedo picture with you at the Academy Awards, because didn't
Oh,
your first
geez.
wife was some famous somebody or something?
No, my second wife,
Oh, your second one. Okay.
she was in the movie business out here, and she's the one that gave me the land for the cattle
Yeah.
business.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, we went to all the Academy Awards and all that kind of stuff, because she'd get me in, and I felt really silly in there, but I was there. We went to a after party, and I was dancing with Mickey Rooney. He was yeah,
That's
when
so weird, dude.
I know,
What? I don't
but
even want to know, dude. I mean, whatever you do
yeah,
and your time is your
we
business, you know.
had a good time, but
Okay. I'm sorry. That's but you have such an interesting
yeah, Mickey
story.
Rooney,
Yeah, go ahead.
but I've met a lot of movie stars and stuff through her, so it's fun. But now I'm got back to just working,
Yeah.
just doing my
And then
taxidermy.
you were fortunate the way you set up your business, because like Matt and I, we got like the retail shop open to the public, you know, and all that. And but you somehow ended up president of the SCI down there somehow, right?
Yes, I became president of the Los Angeles chapter of SCI for 2 years, and that was really good. It helped me in my business, and pretty much now all I do is stuff for Africa. I am the only USDA officer right now in the state of in Southern California,
Right.
so everything that comes in has to go through me pretty much,
Yeah, and then
and I'm also the USDA inspector for the Court of Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I know
I
you've
have to go
helped
to
us
court now and
out.
then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really
So.
grateful to you for helping our clients, but I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that you made a niche for yourself where you just got those guys, so you don't really have to go out and beat the, you know, beat the bushes. And in
That's
fact,
right.
you were
That's
saying
right.
that their secretaries just send you checks every month or
Oh,
something.
yeah,
They
they
don't even
do.
know where they're at. They just keep sending you money, you know. And so, right.
I have to call them now and then, tell them quit sending me money.
Oh, that's funny. But it just shows you, you know. And the Matt and I were just talking. It's amazing how people find each other in this business. It's just so bizarre, you know. Because if you think of how many people are in the world or the country, right? And that the fact that you and I walked in front of the same studio, ended up in the same situation, 10 years apart, is kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah,
Because
we've known each other for a long time.
I know, but the fact that we even had the same way we were looking at, you know what I mean? People thought we were insane. And I could look at that place for hours, right? Because back then they had every you were there gorillas and you name it, you know, and unicorns and dinosaurs and everything, you know. And
The Chicago Museum, I did a gorilla for that for them. It came from one of their zoos out there,
right.
Wow.
and they sent it out here for me to do the gorilla.
Oh my
And
goodness, another gorilla man. I didn't know that. You're in
oh,
the
that's the
go
one and only gorilla.
Well, me too, but now you're in the gorilla club, dude. I only know like me, you, Joe Kish, and maybe Sam Cook. I only know of four gorilla men, you know. So Oh, wait, did Ken Walker say he did one? No.
He was, I don't remember what he did. I don't remember.
Or he was supposed to.
Yeah.
But that's funny. Yeah. Yeah, you got work all over, and here you are, 77, still busting your ass. They won't let you quit, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know what I'd do if I'd quit.
That's true. You know? And then yeah. People don't know, you also have, you really like to do fish. Right.
I love doing fish. That's what I think I'll do when I'm as I retire. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know, back in the '70s and so I did the skin mounts on fish. Mm-hmm. But they just don't last, you know, they fall apart after a while and they turn yellow and then you have to repaint them and it's really a mess. So I went into fiberglassing fish, which came out I think in 1972 or something like that, they started doing fiberglass fish. It was kind of a slow start with those. Mm-hmm. And, but now I've got 1,100 molds on fish.
Wow.
So I can pretty much match any fish people catch.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And then you're doing our rug, you know, you do rugs, you got a sewing machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in your spare time, you actually have like a 60-foot boat or something, right? Or 40?
No, it's not that big. It's only 40-foot.
Oh, only? Okay.
You know? It's a 40-foot boat.
And you like to cruise around there in the...
I do. I go out fishing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice boat.
Yeah.
So, but I think that maybe a year or two more, and I might just start doing fish altogether. Nice. You know, and then... And stop doing some of the, maybe I'll do some rugs, but
yeah, well,
I'm going to quit some of the other stuff.
Anything, just head it our way and we'll help you out however we can. That's another thing too. You've always had a different philosophy. Ours was like working together, not apart, you know, and that's how you've always been too. And, you're not worried if I get an extra deer head and you don't or something, you know, so.
Yeah. In this business, you got to help your fellow taxidermist.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to help them out because, and some of us know more or some of us know less, you know, and we teach each other as we go. Mm-hmm. And you learn new things that way because everything's always changing, it seems like, in taxidermy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's always flowing and, and today it's so bad between the cost of everything and then...
it's horrible.
We call it consolidated, it's buying up everything, so...
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And
we're having a tough time, you know, because tanneries are taking longer and the supply people are taking longer and everything is just... It's kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... you got an interesting story and I hope someday you put it down, all of it, because we didn't... We just, on our show, we don't really have time to dive deep for out, you know what I mean? So we kind of like skim across the surface, but as much as possible, I'm trying to get as many people as I can, you know, because this will be forever on the internet somewhere if anyone cares, but, you know, but we care, you know.
And
I think people will find it interesting because what the thing that I find about maybe people's perception of taxidermists to what they really are is like we're not these weirdos like Disney portrays, like in some dark thing, you know, like creepy people.
Yes.
Some of us might be.
Yeah, some might, but
Matt. It seems like it's always been that way. They think that we're all kind of strange.
Yeah, and then yet if you look at the diversity of what everybody does, it's interesting. That's all. You know what I mean? They're, you know, you got all different hobbies and all different other interests and, you know, and,
that's right.
And, pretty intelligent people. They tend to think, you know, well, maybe down some, oh God, I don't want to get in trouble again, but maybe certain states, they may be toothless bubbas, but not, that's only the minority, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think the taxidermy business has been very good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good to me because I've been able to not just do the taxidermy business, but I also did showrooms and all this kind of stuff, you know.
That's right.
And
we got to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whole so it's been good to me. Yeah.
And you actually had a couple of two or three of your trophy rooms on the cover of that Trophy Room magazine, right?
That Trophy Room book, yeah.
Book, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I was lucky enough that you took me around to one of my customers to some of the rooms you had built. And I think you were working for the one guy, he had nowhere left, and you were putting another rock around an entryway between two rooms, you know. And you built Yeah, you were plugging them in all over the place, you know.
Well, I built about 17 showrooms for private individuals.
Wow.
And I've done 6 Cabela's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, one section of Cabela's. Cabela's is divided in 3 sections, each one. And one taxidermist due to one section. And then the middle one would always be a contractor that would build a cement mountain so they could have waterfalls and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a taxidermist would be on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been fortunate with Cabela's that I've done, I believe, 6 of them.
Yeah. And weren't you almost getting ready to do some huge project a couple of years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and it faded out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gentleman from Iran, very wealthy man, and he had taken over, it was up to 300 and some odd animals he had mounted life size.
Wow.
And so I put in a bid to do a job in Georgia for him, but someone outbid me. So yeah. I didn't do that one.
Boy, if they outbid you, they must have done it for free. So
I don't know.
Seriously, you know, and then good for him, because, well, you know, you know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. And something sounds like it's a lot of money when you're quoting a guy a price till you're. I remember telling Matt, he called me way before we were working together. Uh-huh. Maybe we were. I don't remember. But someone wanted a life size bull.
Yeah.
And he was telling me he was thinking this much, because I said, oh, hell no. Hell no. Uh-huh. Double it at least, you know? Because, you know, and then he looks at me like, are you in, what?
Yeah.
I go, no, you just wait, man. You get into that crap, and it's, people don't appreciate what goes into this stuff.
Yeah. What goes into it, right?
You know?
That's right.
You know? Yeah. Anyway. Well, Fred, I so appreciate you taking your time to help us on our little podcast
here. All right.
And I'm this one goes up, it always goes up,
it'll go up next Tuesday, so a week from today,
and I'll text you the link so you can just listen to it. And then, so if they want to get a hold of you, it's Precision Taxidermy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you need a fish, rug, or anything, really, you know,
anything.
Yep. And you got a little website that Google made for you that you can't stop or something. So I'm not the only guy that's trapped like that.
Yeah.
And then, so they can just look you up there, right?
Sure. That's right.
And then you're one of those sick individuals that tries to answer your phone, I noticed. So you're always available.
I'm pretty much always available.
Yeah.
Well,
well anyway, Fred, God, I just can't even believe we have known you so long. Longer than Matt's been alive. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, you know? Probably so.
And, but I'm grateful for him and, grateful for the opportunity that I've had to influence a lot of younger people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And keep this business moving along. So.
Right.
Well, all right, Fred, I'll check in with you later. We're going to get back to our lightweight banter, as we do here.
And, okay.
And I'll check in and, hey, Nick, bring your hides up, because Matt's already running a tannery again this week. So next.
Oh, yeah, I got at least a couple of big buffaloes I need to get tanned.
Yeah, so next time you're delivering, just leave them here, and we go like every 2 months at least. Sometimes we go every other week, apparently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, evidently. Yeah, I'll certainly bring them up to you, Chuck.
Yeah, because if we can help you out with that, it's a big help, man, you know, because shipping is, we don't need to tell you. And then, like you said, those things are like two pieces of plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're like 4 feet across both ways.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and they're both, you know, probably weigh 100 pounds a piece.
Jeez, yeah.
So the only way you could ship them would be in a crate.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
All right. Well, we'll help you out there, buddy.
All right.
Well, take care,
right.
Fred.
Have a good one, buddy.
You guys too.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a fascinating story.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he's, God, imagine running away from home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just ran away. I just hopped on a train with no food. Right?
Yeah.
And didn't really think it through.
As we do.
As we do. And then he ends up getting a jet. That's just crazy,
uh-huh.
man.
Uh-huh.
You know? And he says that the place is still there. He went back to check it out.
Yeah.
Him and Teresa, and that they open it up like once a year.
Oh, wow.
And he says it's like a real old-fashioned couch. You know, like a real bar, like you'd see in
yeah.
the movies.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he said, so he couldn't really see, but then he looked under the door or something, and he said, yep, them two bears are still in there.
Wow, I bet they're a little worse for the wear these days.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. I don't know. What a, but that's just another story in the yeah. in the book.
Absolutely.
Northwest when he was seven. You know?
Uh-huh.
So he goes all the way back. I mean, we thought we were primitive. I mean, I mounted on paper forms and stuff. And,
yeah.
But, man, he had to, God, he goes and gets the wool from the grocery store.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He was ambitious. And a dime, I mean, that was big money back then,
oh, heck
dude.
Yeah.
You know, if you made 10 bodies, that was a buck.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Hard to believe. Anyway. Yeah, he had a job there in Vietnam. Is he would get the caskets ready to go to Dover.
Oh, wow.
And he would have to put his dress uniforms on and,
yeah.
You know.
Wow.
And then the care they took in the reverence of those bodies was something else.
I bet.
You know. So anyway, he also has a lot of, if we ever have him on again, I'll talk about some funny
yeah,
stories
yeah.
in Germany.
Uh-huh.
But may not be appropriate for the younger listeners. Just like that cat house, he said, yeah, I was 11. And he said, I always saw guys going in and out, getting out all day and all night, and then girls going in and out. And he said, I didn't know what was going on there.
Well, but, yeah, why would you? You're 11 years old.
Yeah, anyway. Well, Matt, what else we got?
I don't know. I think I might be about the end of her.
Okay. Well, talk us out of here.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to another good episode of Off-Centered Outdoors. Be sure to follow us everywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. And be sure to check us out on social media. You can follow me everywhere at Butchershop Taxidermy, and you can find Chucky on Instagram at Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy.
Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support.
Absolutely, guys.
And we'll see you next week.
Have a good one.